Will you pray with me? O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, you who are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Radical hospitality. Emily Towns, in referring to these scriptures, wrote, in just a few short sentences of power and compassion, we are challenged to think more deeply about what is meant by welcoming one another. It is only after doing so that we discover the reward that comes from the deep hospitality found in God's welcome of us. So for 9 years of our lives, Danny and I would have been deep in the midst of summer camp at Apex Youth Center in New Orleans. You know, for those of you who have ever volunteered at a summer camp or vacation Bible school, you know what it looks like. Neat little rows of happy, smiling, angelic children singing Jesus Loves Me and Kumbaya, all perfectly behaved in their fresh, clean clothes, surrounded by happy staff and volunteers and all the perfect pictures of heaven on earth, right? Have you ever been to Apex or a day camp or even a vacation Bible school? So for Apex, we were located in Central City, New Orleans, a place of extreme poverty and marginalization. Summer camp was held in less than updated buildings, with summer temperatures in New Orleans often exceeding 100 degrees, with over 80% plus humidity. So this is more of what it looked like. We had over 120 children aged 5 to 14 enrolled with our 15 to 18-year-old junior counselors. Our average daily attendance was about 90. After the first hour, the air conditioner could never keep up. So not only were they not angelic children, but they were not very well-smelling children either. Noisy, chaos, running around, volunteers who came from all over the world and stood like deer in the headlights. And so, you know, if you've ever had a group full of children in a class with a substitute teacher, you know that's a look you never want to give. Junior counselors who would not have a clue and who we have to keep reminding them, no, you cannot curse at the children. And no, you can't ask that cute 5-year-old's mom for her phone number. You're 15. Volunteers who came in Jesus' name from all over the country to something they could not possibly be prepared for. They, too, had seen the mission posters and seen the latest mission brochures. And, well, this was not what they were expecting. And then there were the missionaries, and I use quotes very loosely here, those who had come from far off places to save all the poor children of New Orleans, starting out determined to do something for the children, for the church, only to come to understand how very separating that word can be. And would begin to move in the process of the short time they were with us, begin to move to working with our community. Yes, they had come to save New Orleans only to find themselves saved by the incredible love they encountered in our community. Yet, for all the imperfections of the ones called to be at Apex, myself and Danny included, whether camper, volunteer, staff, missionaries, or community member, they have one beautiful thing in common. They have all come together to fellowship with one another, to welcome one another, and to serve one another in the name of Christ. One of our local college volunteers from Tulane, one who was actually sent as a spy from her professor, who is a well-known criminologist working with the FBI and places like that, trying to figure out what all this love stuff was about. This young girl of about 20 had never been to church, had only heard about Christianity. For her, faith that she was brought up was quite different. She came one Sunday to church, walked down the aisle and joined us and said, "I didn't know what Jesus was about, but I have experienced this community. And if this is Jesus, I want Jesus." So I am incredibly blessed and honored and humbled to serve here at Belmont Heights United Methodist Church. The rich history of literally thousands and thousands of children served over the course of more than 100 years of ministry. The legacy of going out and reaching and bringing families from the margins to our space. From the very inception of our church, we were a place of and with our community. This rich history, the tears and yes, the legacy of over 100 years to get us here today is not lost on me or our family. Yet I've also heard the whispers in our community, seen the glances, had the conversations about a dying church, or even questions in the community as to whether we can even keep our doors open. Make no mistake, I am not here, and I don't believe that you are here to keep the doors open. I've never made a good doorstop. It's not one of my gifts, and I hope it's not one of yours. I've come to be your pastor fully and completely. I've come to work with you fully as your ministry partner, not to merely help you or do something for the church. I come acknowledging your power, your gifts, and your capacity not to just keep the doors open, not to just take the next step, but to raise this roof, blow the doors wide open, and be a force in the community for Christ. And let me tell you, Belmont Heights United Methodist Church, we have everything. We have everything we need to make that happen. And I have already experienced the radical hospitality of this church. Coffee hour, potlucks, breakfasts, where everyone is welcome, even those unhoused community members from the street. Our members who go out and out of their own pocket feed the homeless, minister with those at the margins. And how we have allowed for 10 decades the use of our building for a multitude of community-oriented services. How even today, More than 5,000 meals per week are served out of our building to the neediest and most marginalized in our community. I have witnessed the love, compassion, and energy, and I have never served a church that has as much sheer talent and brain power as we do here at Belmont Heights. And I have heard of your personal ministries outside of these walls. Relay for Life, Make a Difference Day, volunteering for the homeless and the Red Cross. And our family and children's ministry leaves me wondering just how many young people we really could send to seminary. For I've not found such sound teachings in theology, even among some adults in churches I've served. So we are here at the edge of unprecedented times, looking for guidance from the Holy Spirit, some kind of instructions as to what is next. And as we move to become a church with and for and amongst our community in every aspect of what we do, we wonder, what will it look like? How will we do it? Do we have enough people, resources, support, money? And before we think, we have to serve elaborate meals or provide expensive gifts. We are reminded in this gospel passage that the simplest act of reaching out to the least, the last, with something as ordinary as a cold cup of water becomes an extraordinary opportunity to experience the living Christ. For welcoming others in Jesus' name is welcoming them to experience the very living Christ with us. A cold cup of water. You see, that very act requires us to get close, to touch each other. Even amongst social distancing, it requires us to touch each other's heart, to offer life-giving sustenance, and to build sustaining relationships. And not only is the church called to welcome the lost, we are called to welcome one another, to renew our relationships within the church and within the Christian community. Most people read these three verses in Matthew's gospel and assume that Jesus is speaking of children or maybe the marginalized. However, most scholars agree that when you read the chapter in context, you realize that Jesus is telling us to welcome those who bring the gospel, the good news of Jesus. These are the little ones, the itinerant preacher of the day, those who come with little yet bring so much. For to welcome those who come in Jesus' name is to welcome Jesus. And if Jesus is saying, and I believe he is, that when we welcome bearers of the good news, you know, those who say, feed the hungry, clothe the naked, visit those who are sick in prison. When we welcome the bearers of the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, then we will receive our reward. Well, I have no doubt that this church has rewards stored up, overflowing, and abundant for us to keep serving. Belmont Heights United Methodist Church, we are standing at the base of this mountain. Just as we learned Abraham did so long ago, and just saying, "Here I am," a simple sentence, "Lord, here I am, Lord." And like Abraham, we are standing here, we are believing, we are claiming that God will provide and that God does provide. And together we will welcome one another in Christ. We will welcome our community. We will welcome those who may have never been welcomed before through the doors of a church and into fellowship with God and the Church of Jesus Christ. A little over 10 years ago, when I knew that I was to now live out my call to ministry full-time, I said, "Here I am, Lord." I said I would go wherever I was sent and would serve those who were placed before me. But it's not just pastors who are called to serve. As the body of Christ, we are called to serve all those who are placed before us. And we will, together with one another, welcome each other and welcome the stranger. And when we think we can't stretch another dime, we will remember that all it takes is a cold cup of water. You know, when I was on the Steve Harvey show many years ago, he told me something I will never forget. He said, "It doesn't take a quarter, it takes a conversation." And I've met a few of you, and we have an abundance of that resource, the conversation part. So will you join me? Will you join us? Can we, as a church, offer this radical, deep, meaningful hospitality with one another? To those outside our walls, will some come to us one day and say, "I don't know Jesus, but if this is Jesus, I want Jesus." And I'm excited. I'm excited for us to work together so that anyone driving by Belmont Heights United Methodist Church is curious about just what's going on here. And I'm honored and overjoyed that this part of our journey is to be spent with you. And well, conference is over, so you're stuck with me for another year at least. And I hope many years to come, because together I know we can make a difference in our community. Together I know we can offer the greatest hospitality ever, for together we can offer Christ. You know, you've heard a lot of people say, "Bring people to Jesus." But our founder, John Wesley, said something radically different 300 years ago. He said, "Offer people Christ. Bring Jesus to people." So I thank you for your ability to welcome us and to welcome all of those who are bearers of the gospel. And I also say to you, welcome. Welcome, Belmont Heights United Methodist Church. And welcome. Welcome, Jesus. Amen. So, you have homework. You know, I thought I might as well get on the bandwagon of homework after a Zoom meeting. I know you parents know exactly what I'm talking about. But I hope this homework is fun. I hope that you find it challenging and intriguing, and I've already given this homework to our Bible study. But your homework is to pray and ask God for a vision for our church. Concrete ways that we can become that place of radical, welcoming, and deep hospitality. What are ways that we can use our building, even in times of social distancing, to minister with those at the margins, to minister with all those who would bring the gospel of Jesus? What are ways that we together can offer people Christ? So come with those ideas. Come to coffee or social hour or Bible study, or make an appointment and we'll talk. Email me. You have homework this week. I'm expecting your assignment to be completed. Pray. Ask God for a vision. And share what's on your heart.